Hi, I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris, and this is the EdShift podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the EdShift podcast. Really thrilled to be joined today by Alafia Masters, the founder and CEO of MadLearn. I had the pleasure of meeting Alafia at ISTE in New Orleans. We were just talking about how hot it was down there back in June of this year. And I think we had a pretty instant connection. Loved meeting you and super excited to have you here to explore a little bit more about your journey, talk about design thinking, talk about MadLearn. So welcome, Alafia, to the EdShift podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Katie and Chris, for having me. It's an honor to be here. It was so fun meeting you in New Orleans. And I am really excited to be on your podcast today. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. So let's jump in, talk a little bit about your own journey, to what got you to MadLearn, what's the vision behind it, but yeah, what has your path looked like to get where you are?
It has been an interesting one. And I used to be able to say it has been a unique one, but I have had the honor of meeting so many fabulous people that have had journeys similar to mine, which is good. There's definitely a lot more, people that have drunk the Kool-Aid in one way or another. So I started, actually, interesting fun fact, my last name is Master because my forefathers in India were teachers. And at the time, under British rule, teachers were called Masterji. So that's where we got our last name from. So education and educators have been in my family for generations. And I have always been very exposed to that intimately. Growing up, I didn't obviously know what I wanted to be. In third grade, my third grade teacher, I still remember to this day when kind of this light went off, she had me teach another group of kids some spelling words. And I fell in love with the concept of teaching and mentoring somebody else with something. And I think that was one of my earliest seeds, but I became a teacher. I went to college and got my degree in psychology and education, and I became a Montessori teacher. I knew I loved education. I wanted to be a part of it in one way or another. So I started in the right place, which is the classroom. And I taught for many years. I taught young ones. Chris, I know you said your high school kids scare me a little bit, but I love the young ones. I'm all about early childhood education, and I taught 3 to 6 year olds for many years. Absolutely loved it. About 10 years ago, I decided to make the crazy step of leaving the classroom and working on starting a company. And the first idea that I had was based on a problem that I had as a teacher. Why don't parents know what's happening in my classroom? How do I keep them more involved? How do I keep them more engaged? Everyone's on their phone. Why can't I communicate with my parents through an app for my school? Back then, no school had their own app. And today, almost all schools do, which is good. But back then, it was not a thing. And so we set off on this journey of trying to figure out how to make an app for my school and see if other schools are interested in this kind of thing. And fast forward a few years of doing that work and building a team and lots of schools and districts that we got to work with, we realized that kids had such good questions around what we were doing. Why does our school app look like this? Why isn't it that color? We should have this feature and don't do it that way. We came back and we put our heads together and we said, guys, we need to not be the ones building the apps. We need to teach the kids how to build apps. And so MadLearn was born 8 years ago. And it's really been a labor of love and lots of ups and downs and all kinds of roller coaster rides. But 8 years in, we're working with almost 40,000 students across 30 states and 5 countries.
Amazing. I love the organicness of that as well. Like, yeah, there were some apps and the kids in, usual fashion were like, Dad, no, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. And I love that you took that feedback and we're like, we can do something different here.
Absolutely. And that's really why we do the things that we do and the way that we do them. It needs to be ideas from people that are using the things that we're creating, right? The ideas of our customers are the best things that we can listen to. So we heard our kids, we heard our teachers, and we said we need to pivot. And that's really where MadLearn came to be.
I love that. And I love that you've created something that students get to drive and it kind of connects them to things they're interested in. So I have thousands of questions, but tell us a little bit more first about like, what does MadLearn do for kids? Like, what does that experience feel like for them? And then I'm actually really curious too, like as a Montessori teacher, how did that help you? Like, how did that kind of background maybe feed into this a little bit?
Sure. So MAD stands, it's an acronym. It stands for mobile app development. And that is at the very core, the hook of what we do. That's the hook. And one of our partners said that, she said, you guys are the ultimate hook. And we agree that's what we think. You know, kids are on their phones 24/7, for better or for worse, it's an extension of their left or right arm, right? So how do we figure out how to shift the dialogue to not taboo the phone in the classroom, or not say you have to put it away or you can't use it, but shift the conversation to let's create something for it. Let's create something that makes it more practical, better, helps a group of people, solves a problem. And so we are using the apps as a hook to get kids interested in and exposed to technology creation. And I say technology creation specifically because a lot of times when we say computer science or we say coding, we might get a little bit afraid of that. By the way, I don't know how to code and I run a tech company. And I say this to teachers all the time and to students all the time, not to say that coding is not important. It's essential. We could not do what we do without our coders, but we also couldn't do what we do without our designers or our testers or our sales team, our marketing team, all of these things that come together to build a piece of technology or to build a solution to a problem. And so what we're doing with MadLearn is really exposing students to a holistic design thinking process as it relates to creating an app and then instantly seeing it on your phone. So that our curriculum, everything that we have, the tool that we have is based on that design thinking process. And it's been amazing to see what kids can do and the reactions that they have when they're able to put their ideas into something real. And Chris, you asked about Montessori and the connection there. Everything that Montessori, the pedagogy, the teachings are about hands-on learning and about having it be student-driven. And the student-driven component is so essential. And that's really what we think we're doing well with MadLearn, is helping kids come up with their own idea. And sometimes this can be really easy. Kids have a million different ideas and they have a hard time picking one. But a lot of times kids really struggle with coming up with an idea. And teachers come back and look at this and they say, why is that? We realize that a lot of our practices are spoon feeding our kids and saying, do this and do that. And then step one and step two and step three. So if I'm not given as a student, if I'm not given a lot of opportunity to come up with things on my own, I have a hard time doing that. So this is an opportunity for kids to really bring their own ideas, their own concepts, focus on problems that they are facing in their own lives. A few years ago, we had a group of students that created an app about domestic violence. This was something that they had exposure to in their community, or they had heard about on the news. And so they built an app called Enough, which was an app to help women, typically, because they did the research and they realized that most domestic violence victims are women, but to help women stand up and say, enough is enough. Here's how I need to move out of this situation, how I need to leave the situation, because they also did the research and realized that typically abusers have a hard time changing, or it is a repeat situation. And so they made an app called Enough to help build the strength to say enough is enough and to leave. And so, you know, things like that, where it is really, really focused on the student interest and the power of that. It's not always that can be the case, depending on the class that you're teaching and the time that you have. But the Montessori connection is definitely student driven and hands-on learning. If you do, you get excited about it. If you do yourself, you get invested in it.
And that connection to the community. And as I hear you talk about this, like I hear a couple of really key things. So we're taking this device that students are often consuming on and we're getting them to create on it, which I really like. We're taking a device, which can sometimes be isolating because we're very focused on what's in front of us. And then we're working as a group of students to brainstorm and create something. And you said something else that really resonated with me. And that's, you know, it's not just about the coding. It's about the language and the colors. And so students start to learn how to collaborate in a way that lets them pick out their strengths and work together based on those strengths. And so my next question then is like, all of this is amazing. I want to go do it in classrooms everywhere. But I also know, you know, as a teacher, like, it's sometimes daunting to change the way we're doing things and to like throw this out there and just let your students do something new. So what advice can you give, or how can we support teachers who want to make a decision to kind of go down this pathway and maybe in some different subject areas? Because I think, you know, the first connection we make is, oh, like this is STEAM, we'll do it in science or we'll do it in math. But even just based on the example you gave, right? There's so many different places this could go. So
absolutely. Yeah.
What would you say to teachers?
absolutely. And you know, we are an education company first and a technology company second. I'm a former educator. Almost half of the folks on our team are former educators, and that's very much by design. We wanted to make sure that what we build, we're building actually not for students first, but for teachers first. And I say that because, of course, at the end of the day, we do everything that we do for our kids. But if we don't empower our teachers to be successful with thinking in different ways and out of the box, innovative ways, we're never going to get to the kids. So we really are focused on our teachers with everything that we do, and we want to help empower our teachers in different ways. So a couple of things that we have for teachers. One, and I would encourage all of you to do this, if you want to pull out your phone, download this app called MAD Store, M-A-D Store. It's our version of the App Store. It's on the Apple iTunes Store, the Google Play Store. I know which one is which. It's on the App Store. It's on the Google Play Store. But it's called MAD Store. And download that app. It's a free app. You'll see hundreds of apps on there that are student and teacher made apps. Any app that you make with MadLearn, you can instantly see on your device. Of course, not all of them are public. They have to go through many levels of approval to get to be published, but there's thousands of other ones behind the scenes that you can only access if you have the code for that app, the access code. But when you download that app, you'll see some examples of apps made in different classrooms. So one example that's one of my favorites is a history classroom. Middle school history, this teacher said, okay, we're learning about the Holocaust. Let's make an app on the Holocaust. And this group of girls created a phenomenal app called Two Voices. And it is understanding the Holocaust in a fictitious, but based on real historical events, two different characters, one that's a 12-year-old girl and another that's a 42-year-old man. And so you click through and you can see, learn about this character, go through different scenarios and see, would you do this at this point or do that? Based on what happens, it'll give you the next set of scenarios of what would occur. And the girls did such a phenomenal job, in-depth research, really looking through and understanding. The teacher said to us, my students have never learned so much about the Holocaust than they did doing this project, because there is now ownership. They created this app. They not only created it and shared it with their school, they presented it at a national conference the next year. 5 years later, they recorded a video saying, we remember this app that we made. It was so cool. And so, you know, things like that, that you could see in a history class. Another one of my favorite examples is an English classroom. This is actually a book report mobile app. So we know we all read books. We know we all have to write book reports in all of our English classes. Kids are tired of writing book reports. Let's be honest, right? We've been there. We've done that. They're even tired of making PowerPoints and submitting the same kind of assignments over and over. So rethinking a project or an assignment that you have in any class that you are already teaching and thinking about how that might be an app that a student submits instead. And the reason you can do this successfully with MadLearn is because you could build an app start to finish using no code whatsoever. And so that would be me, right? Because remember, I don't know how to code. I could build an app, which I did. I got married last year. We built a wedding app instead of an invitation card. We sent out everyone a link to our app. And so we had a wedding app. instead. But that's the kind of thing that we can see happen. So you could build an app in any classroom as a project, as an assignment. This book report app is called Lost in a Book. And that is a helicopter that you hear. I apologize. I am sitting outside because it's a beautiful day. And of course, there's a helicopter in the distance.
All good.
But Lost in a Book is a book report mobile app. The students did such a phenomenal job making the designs, doing the character assessment and analysis of the plot, all of this stuff. And that's what she submitted to her teacher and got graded on that instead.
That is so powerful. And I'm thinking as you're speaking about that of like, gosh, I wish I had something like that. In embarrassing confession time. I don't know if it's embarrassing, but like funny confession time from like my teenage self. I was so bored with book reports by the time I got to grade 11 that I fully made up a book. Just completely made it up. Made up the whole darn thing and wrote a book report on a completely fake book because I was so bored. Like I needed to do something, the creativity part of me, right? Like I love to read, I love to write. And I was just like, I am so sick of this. So I think of like, you know, 15-year-old me that would have been saved from the ridiculousness of making up an entire book.
Just that, the accessibility too, right? Like no one has to code. So we're not, you know, we're not asking you to learn to do this and showcase your knowledge. We're just, how creative can you be in showcasing your knowledge like that? So yeah, my daughter would be all over that for sure.
I love that. And I'm so glad you share that. And Katie, by the way, that made up book, that's what you should have gotten graded on because that's right? Amazing. I mean, that's amazing. That's what we want, right? We want that creativity to shine. And, you know, like I said, you could do it using no code whatsoever. Or if some of the kids know code or are interested in that, they could flip the screen around, see the code, edit, manipulate it, make it even more cool, whatever way they want to do that. But the reason we approached it this way is because we know that we need more kids that are taking computer science in high school and in college. We know we have a huge STEM gap. We know that the STEM gap is actually a computer science gap because 67% of the job openings in STEM are in computing. So we need more kids interested in computing, but the only way that's going to happen is if we expand computer science to outside of the computer science classroom. We only have so many computer science classes and we only have so many computer science teachers. If those are the only kids that we are helping with this kind of work, we're not targeting enough. We're not meeting the needs that we have. So we really want to help bring computer science to non-computer science classes and teachers in a fun, creative, kind of an easy backdoor exposure kind of way. And then the student's light bulb goes off and there's this like, oh, I made an app in my English class. That was kind of fun. Let me take that intro to computer science class. Let me learn more about it. Let me see what that's about. Fun fact, I have to share this because it just happened yesterday. We were on a meeting with one of our district partners here in Georgia and their CTA department was going through an annual or biannual review from the Georgia Department of Education. And so they had invited their industry partners to be a part of that review meeting and to share the work that was happening. And this district shared one of the reasons why they brought MadLearn into the district was to ensure that there was computer science in non-computer science settings or non-traditional pathways for CTE. They saw in the last 2 years since we've been working with them, they saw almost a 27% increase in high school computer science enrollment from middle schools that had experiences like MadLearn. And so that's the kind of thing that we want to see happen, right? If we can start at elementary, if we can start at middle school and expose students to this kind of work in any setting, you know, the sky's the limit.
That's incredible. What a huge statistic. And it makes me think as well about the sort of the democratization and the equity element of this as well. I think all of the examples you gave us of very cool apps where you used she and, you know, talking about young women that were making these, you know, and I think there's still so much work for us to do in making these types of things equitable and accessible for students, regardless of their gender, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of their background. And so that feels like something that's incredibly powerful in this approach as well.
Thank you. And I really appreciate hearing that from you, Katie, because that's really the crux of what we want to ensure happens, right? We can't have all of our coders be the same kind of person. We have to have all of our voices, all of our backgrounds, all of our ideas be represented at the table. And everything that we can do to get all of our kids access to this kind of experience is what needs to happen. And you're right. We love sharing examples of, and not to say our boys are not doing great work. They absolutely are. But we are seeing, just a couple of weeks ago, we did a back to school event and we had a teacher panel and a student panel. And the student panel was interns that have been with our company for one or more years. We have a virtual student internship program, by the way, which is a lot of fun. But these interns, all of the interns that accepted to present were girls. And so we had this power girl panel of students talking about interning at a tech company and how they had never thought of that. They didn't think they could do it. They did this, this, this. Their work is highlighted here and showcased there. We need more of that.
The thing that kind of like I am so interested in and so intrigued here is the way you've really taken something that feels not accessible to a lot of people. And particularly there's a number of demographics who just feel like, this is not a thing for me. I can't do tech design. And you've just, you've broken it down and scaffolded it, but you've also attached it to curiosity and interest and passion. And so it's almost like, you know, with giving students the choice, you can just do this without coding, or you can flip it over and you can pick around and you can play with it. And so you take all of these elements of kind of the way our brains are primed to learn, right? Like through curiosity or through learning from our peers. And so a student can see another student, like take that step and try something and do something. And then they try something and they do something. And it's so student directed and interest directed. And just, I love talking about how we learn and how our brains work. And you seem to have captured that in this really easy, accessible tool. And so I'm just so excited about that. And just seeing, you know, all of our, you know, girls doing this and understanding that tech isn't just about coding. Like, yeah, there's so much to unpack here that I'm absolutely in love with. So say I'm a teacher in a classroom and I'm listening to this podcast and I want to get started because obviously this is great and all of our kids should be doing this. What's the first step for them? Where do they go and what do they need to do?
Yeah, I mean, the first recommendation that I would have is go to our website, mad-learn.com, and sign up for a free trial. Log in, build an app yourself, look at all the curriculum we have, look at all the videos we have, look at everything that we have. We are not a free program, so there is a paid subscription to MadLearn, but send us an email. We'll figure out, you know, what you need and get you a quote accordingly, but start with the free trial. There's a lot of videos. Of course, follow us on social media. You'll see all kinds of stories from everywhere at MadLearn on Twitter, but I think hands-on is the best approach. So if this is something that you're looking to do, I recommend going to our website, sign up for a free trial, see what you think, build an app yourself, see it on a phone, and see how easy it can be. And if you have questions, we're here to help. One of the things that our teachers say all the time is that our team is instrumental in helping them be successful in the classroom. And that's what we're here for. Again, we're teachers. We want to help all of our teachers be successful. So we're right there with you in the classroom. We'll video in, work with your kids. We'll do a one-on-one meeting with you anytime you need it. You call us, we'll help. But that's what we're here for.
I might go make an app.
I think you should. I mean, it would be great. I'd love to see the Katie and Chris app. Yes. And you can make an app for your podcast. Oh my gosh, that's so fun.
Oh, this just got real meta. I'm excited.
I do just want to add one more thing. I know when we think about design thinking, I mentioned design thinking and that sort of being the foundation for everything that we do. The reason that is the case is because when we look at the future, right? When we look at the job market, when we look at what careers are going to be available in the future, we don't actually know the jobs that are going to be, that are going to exist 10, 15, 20 years from now, because things are changing so quickly. 5 years ago, even the jobs that we had have changed significantly. COVID changed a lot. Right? Overnight, we had massive shifts in types of jobs. But even thinking about something as simple as taxi drivers, that used to be ubiquitous, and now it's Uber and Lyft drivers, right? And so it's not, technology isn't replacing all of the jobs or the jobs. It is changing how these things are done. And so one of the things that we know for certain that's not changing is that we will always have problems that need to be solved. And what design thinking does is it helps our kids learn about how to identify a problem and think of creative solutions to solve those problems. That is a basic skill that all of our kids should have, because if that's something that they have and they are well versed in, regardless of app development or not, right? We're using app development as a way to learn that skill, but it can be done and is done in a million different settings. But if you know how to do design thinking well and how to think in that innovative mindset, it doesn't matter what the world is going to look like 20 years from now, you'll be able to pivot yourself and change and adapt to the market and be able to serve your community, hopefully in a meaningful way. So I just wanted to throw that in there as why. What, you know, ours is actually, and we have a whole new product coming out in a couple months, that is a whole new version of MadLearn that has all of those six steps from idea to plan, design, build, test, and launch, all of that integrated into the MadLearn platform. So a student can go in and go through all of those six steps sequentially or out of order. But that's why we're based on design thinking. It's not that we came up with it, of course not. It's been around since the early 1940s, 1950s, but it is such an essential way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. That's such a great top up and such a great add, because to that point, design thinking, you know, can be for anything and support with any job, and is just an important way to train us to do things, right? And to think through things and to solve problems. So, Alicia, we do have one final question that we like to ask on the EdShift podcast, because, you know, not every day is a good day, but every day has a best part. So what has been the best part of your day today?
Oh, that's, I love that question. The best part of my day today. Well, I will say I got to speak with a district that has been doing a lot of really great things in computer science. They haven't really looked at MadLearn in a meaningful way yet, and they're potentially thinking about that. But what was really interesting about that conversation is it just so happens that we have two interns currently from that district that are working with us. And they found out about us through an event or a few different things, a congressional app challenge, or they had an internship event at their district. And so they applied almost 6 months ago, and they got accepted to intern with us this fall. And they're interning with us this semester. And I got to share with them stories of what these interns have done in their virtual internship just in a week and a half of being on our team. They made a resume app that showcases who they are and what they are. And that's something that they're potentially going to use as a part of college applications. I mean, imagine walking into a job interview and saying, here's my resume app. Pretty cool. And so they made a resume app already in just 1 week of being here. They were a part of a virtual cook party that we had over the weekend, where we were all making the same dish in all of our different kitchens all over the world. Different ingredients a little bit, but the same recipe, and all of them looked different and tasted probably different, but it was so fun. But I got to brag on these kids because they're just the kind of student that says they want to apply to an internship. They want to meet people, not in person, but all over the world globally, that are, who knows who they are. But they show up to meetings, they do the work, they are participating in conversations on Slack. They're the biggest thing that they wanted to learn from an internship, how to work on a team. How great is that, right? And so that was definitely a highlight. Of course, being here with you ladies and being on this podcast, for sure. But getting to brag on kids is always something that I love doing. So that was the highlight for today.
Amazing. That is such a great highlight.
And what a great opportunity for those students too. So, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And just thinking of like, yeah, all the impacts that's going to have on them throughout their lives. Thanks to you. Thanks to the team's work. And I mean, obviously thanks to their own commitment as well, but that opportunity is huge.
And I will say more companies need to do virtual internship programs. And so any company that's listening, please figure out a way to start an in-person or a virtual internship program for middle school and high school kids. We need to have our kids in the workplace much earlier than they actually get to the workplace. It's essential to help them figure out what they want to do and also to help them be ready when they get that first job.
I loved having the chance to dive into why design thinking is beneficial for students and how we take a tool that all students have in their hands, right? We think about their cell phones and we take that device and find a way to connect students to their learning, connect students to their interests, and get them creating and collaborating with their peers in a way that still connected to the content standards that teachers are delivering. So just an amazing conversation about an amazing tool. And yeah, the team that created it and put it in the hands of students.
Yep.
Very important. So, well, thank you, Alicia, again, so much. Thank you so much for being here. We really, really loved having you. A great conversation. And yeah, lots of information in the show notes for everyone listening. Subscribe, review, connect with all three of us on socials. That information will be in your show notes. And we look forward to talking to you next time on the EdShift podcast.
Maybe you'll get to find out what kind of app Katie and I created together.
I mean, give us a couple more episodes for that, Chris. Come on.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for having me, Katie and Chris. This was such a pleasure. I so enjoyed speaking with you both. And I'm very, very, very happy that I got to be a part of your podcast today.
Yes. Thank you.